feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter. When I call.
And so much
Rita,
news tonight on the Rita Cosby Show. And we are already hearing that Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, is eyeing specific properties that she, quote, can't wait to seize. And these are locations specifically that President Trump has in Westchester County, just north of New York City. One of them is called Seven Springs. It's like a sprawling estate. The other is a golf course there in Briarcliff Manor, New York. I mean, this is crazy. This is after he has said it's impossible, it looks like, to post a $500 million bond because they want it in cash. And she's already putting like the little wish list up. How is anything about this other than politics and lawfare, and it just seems so over the top and un-American. We're going to be talking about that tonight for sure. Also, Fannie Willis in Georgia, full steam ahead, trying to get her case also on the docket, saying, oh, it doesn't matter. What ethics issue? What problem with my old boyfriend? I don't know what you're talking about. And in the middle of all this, we are seeing unbelievable signs of these rushes of migrants to our U.S. southern border. Earlier tonight, by the way, on Katz and Cosby, John Catsimatidis and I were talking. We had a great guest in studio. We had the former Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper. And he was talking about just how crazy it is when he sees what's happening with our southern border. He also talked about the lack of leadership that he is seeing in Washington right now, that he feels that leadership in Washington needs to be much stronger, not just for America, but for the world. He just came back from Israel, and he said everybody there in Israel is very supportive, of course, of protecting the homeland and fighting. Even if they're on different political sides, they understand the importance of wiping out Hamas, and it's not just for Israel, it's for the world. They were really powerful points. And yet I'm looking at the same time, I'm looking up at the screen and seeing this image of hundreds of illegal migrants storming through razor wire fence in Texas. At least there's some sort of blockade. Texas is still waiting tonight to see if they're going to get word from an appeals court, if they're able to go forward with their state law where they can arrest and deport on a state level who crosses into our border. But it's like the Fed is fighting tooth and nail. I've had so many people from different parts of the world in the last few months going, what is going on with your president? Saying, what the heck is an American president fighting Texas to protect the homeland, a job that the president of the United States should be doing? And there's a recent case of late, too, of what we just saw at Eagle Pass and also one in El Paso just a few hours ago, where it looks like it's like 500 or 600 illegal migrants just kind of storming through, breaking through the razor wire, toppling over National Guardsmen. This is crazy. It is so out of control, and it is just keeps on coming. There's, in fact, a story that in the Biden administration, it was just reported a little bit ago that 200,000 people had to basically get let out, you know, no problem, let out in America because there was a paperwork mess up. They didn't get some paperwork filed in time, the Biden administration, as if paperwork has stopped any of them from blocking the 10 million people. But they blatantly just kind of let out 200,000 people. Here you go. Nothing to worry about because they didn't file paperwork on time. These people don't know which way is up. I'm telling you, this is such a chaotic situation. And when I hear President Biden now continue to slam President Trump, saying that he despises immigrants, that is so incendiary. It is so incorrect. And it's also just downright false. And just because he cares about protecting the homeland, they're trying to paint him as if he's racist, as if he doesn't like Latinos. Nothing could be further from the truth. And President Biden sees the numbers that we all see. He's clearly in panic because as we were talking with the prime minister earlier, I said to the prime minister, it's not about a two-state solution, meaning Israel and the Palestinian territories. The two-state solution is Michigan and Minnesota, because those are the two states that right now President Biden is desperately trying to appease. And that's why he's throwing Israel under the bus. That's why he's doing a lot of these things. And that's why right now he also sees that he's dropping in Latino votes. He's dropping in African-American votes, too. He's bleeding in all different directions. And so when he sees the Latino vote dropping, what does he do? And he sees that they're hiding and they're going towards Trump. Some of them are staying home. But others are saying, we care about the economy. We care about protecting the homeland. And they're going towards Trump. And he doesn't like that. Biden doesn't like it. So what does he do? He says, oh, well, Trump despises Latinos. That is absolutely preposterous. And meantime, if you listen to what is happening to our country, you know what? Texas is right. It is an invasion. It's abhorrent and it is an invasion. Listen to what this TikToker had to say. This is incredible. This is a guy. He comes over to the United States. He's telegraphing basically a crime ring that he thinks should happen with the migrants. And he says that he has a friend who somehow took over seven homes, you know, these squatter laws that a lot of people have been talking about in this crazy case in New York where the woman tried to kick out the squatter and then she got arrested. I mean, it's nuts. So guess what? They see the headlines too. And so this guy goes on social media on TikTok and listen to what he says. He's like trying to inspire migrants around the world to come to America to be squatters in empty homes. And then they can somehow take the property and sell the property or do something with the property. This is abhorrent. I'm glad we brought you over. I'm so glad we're bringing you into this country. Yeah, we're just bringing over the finest. Listen to this comment from this TikToker. And boy, is this downright frightening.
My people have thought about invading a house in the United States because I learned that there is a law that says that if a house is not inhabited, we can expropriate it. Northern Hoods here in the United States. Terrain deformation also applies. And I think that will be my next business. Invade abandoned houses. Since I have searched for some codes with my African friends and they told me that they already have about seven expropriated houses. And as the saying daddy says, you have to look for the way back and forth right now is to invade houses since we are in a street situation and it is the only way we have to avoid living on the street and not be a public burden.
That's incredible. What about staying in your homeland as opposed to taking over an innocent person's home? And did you hear? They have, what, about seven homes? Daddy says, you heard what he said. I mean, how offensive is that? And then also heartbreaking this week, we also heard from Jason Riley. He is the father of Laken Riley. And Jason Riley talked before the state Senate there in Georgia. And boy, was it gut-wrenching. Take a listen. Again, the loss of his daughter, the 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia who was killed while she was jogging in broad daylight on the University of Georgia campus by a guy who never should have been in the country to begin with, a criminal and somebody who was paroled into this country, should have been deported, should have been behind bars. And epitomizes what happens when you have an open border. Here is the father of Laken Riley addressing the Georgia legislature.
I stand before you a heartbroken man. Part of my purpose has been taken. God gave me a beautiful daughter to father, protect, provide for, and nurture. A man with an evil heart stole her life. He was in this country and in this state illegally. My vision for every senator in this chamber is that you protect citizens from this illegal invasion.
He calls it an illegal invasion. And if anybody understands the consequence of what that is, it is the father of Lake and Riley. He also said that the policies in his hometown of Athens, Georgia, where the University of Georgia is located, where his beautiful daughter was killed by this monster, he says absolutely contributed to her death. Take a listen.
Please recognize over a million illegal aliens are in this state and making families nervous. Please recognize Athens-Clarke is a sanctuary city, and this policy and the lack of action led to the murder of my daughter.
The lack of action and the policy led to the murder of his precious daughter. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew, your thoughts about all this.
Just want to say Trump and I have something in common. We both not only love immigrants, but we're in love with an immigrant. His wife is an immigrant. My wife is an immigrant. Two out of his three wives were immigrants, including the current one. Biden's wife is not an immigrant, and Biden mocked immigrants in his state of Delaware. Indian immigrants didn't welcome them, made fun of their accents, and criticized them for owning businesses. Didn't want that. So it's an inversion of the truth, and it's so heartbreaking to hear the father have to tell the truth and that the girl's life was lost. So it's not just him politically trying to get support lying about Trump, but it's tragic, fatal consequences.
No, it is, Andrew. You're right. And it's just, it's so disgusting and shameful that Biden would sort of take the sleazy path because he sees the numbers. He knows what he's doing. It's obviously politically timed, and I agree with you. I think it's shameful, and it's so far from the truth, and I hope everybody sees how far it is from the truth. Let's go to Dom in Minnesota. Dom, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Rita, Trump should start a used car dealership and call it Bloodbath and Beyond.
and like Bed Bath and Beyond. Whoa.
You know, and Biden should replace Lady Liberty with the statue of John Gotti, and everybody will get the message. And under that, it should say, give me your thugs, murderers, and rapists in exchange for all our law-abiding citizens. Maybe that'll go over well with the rest of the population.
Yeah, you know what, sadly, you know, it's so funny. I mean, it's hilarious, but boy, sadly, it's true, Dom. I mean, he doesn't seem... It is amazing to me at this moment, Dom, that we have still not heard him pronounce her name. And then he started apologizing. I mean, that whole apology tour to the killer of Lake and Riley. And as far as I understand, I don't think he has called the family yet. I don't even think he's reached out to Lake and Riley's family. And yet he was extending an olive branch to the killer. I mean, that it is like alternate universe, Dom. And to me, it just epitomizes this backward policies. That's the nicest thing I can say about this president. His behavior with this whole case has been shameful, transparent, and disgusting. And I feel like a lot of it, Dom, goes right back, I think, to just like fentanyl. Because the minute you start talking about a murder or you talk about something that happened or fentanyl, with the deadly fentanyl coming across the border, the next thing is, well, how does it get here? How did the killer get here? It came across the open border. And they want us to just ignore it over and over again. And I don't think we should. If we care about this country, we should not be ignoring an open border. That's the first thing we should be spotlighting, because that is the front lines of our homeland and the front lines of our security. And the fact that this president wants it to be like a pass, I'm sorry. 10 million people in the country illegally is not a pass. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break. You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
The Rita Cosby Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Rita Cosby Show.
And tragically for Lakin Riley's family, boy, the heartbreak that they are enduring. And think about the courage of her father to address the Georgia legislature. And he said he's doing it not just because of the loss of his beautiful daughter from an illegal migrant, but he says that there are so many more like Lakin in America every single day. Take a listen to what he said.
Hundreds of women and children each month that are being smuggled, coerced, and trafficked in our state. They are victims just like Lakin. I thank you for honoring Lakin in this way, and I humbly ask you to do more to protect us. She and my family mean the world to me.
Wow, how emotional to be able to hear that. And that is why they are pushing also for the Lakin Riley Act to make those that have committed a burglary, some form of theft, to get deported immediately out of the country. You would think that that's a given. I mean, it's not a given. And guess what? Many of the Democrats in the Senate aren't sure if they're going to pass it. Are you kidding me? What? You want to keep having repeat criminals in the United States? Is that the constituent you want? I mean, that's just crazy. That should be an easy one. Yeah, sure. Well, of course, we're going to pass it to protect this country and protect communities. Obviously, there are a lot of mistakes made, but the fact that they're hesitating, that speaks volumes. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to BJ. BJ, your thoughts.
Hello, Rita. I'm wondering when the governor is going to declare a state of emergency because we are under siege by these illegal alien criminals. I'm reading in the paper that another woman on the east side came home to squatters. They killed her. And they took her SUV after she found out her apartment was being inhabited by these creatures.
And when they killed her.
Yep.
Wow.
They killed her. Yep. This is in the east side of Manhattan. It was reported in today's Post. You can read it yourself.
How sad is that? Wow.
These animals, we're witnessing the breakdown of the civil society, law and order, because what happens now is people are beginning to take the law into their own hands, like that woman that got arrested trying to vacate the premises from these creatures.
Right. And then, you know, the crazy thing, as you know, in that one, she gets arrested. I mean, you can't make it up. This is just insane. Talk about lawlessness. And then you got this guy, this illegal migrant, advertising how to go do it and take over homes. Wow, what a heartbreaking story you just shared too, BJ.
Rita Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. Be sure to check out GoyaCares.com. They do so much to combat human trafficking and to help faith and family. Again, GoyaCares.com. And this powerful story coming from Matthews, North Carolina. I know where Matthews is. I used to work in Charlotte, North Carolina. I love the Carolinas. And this is a powerful story about Matthews police officer Parker Justice, who had only been in law enforcement for about 8 months before encountering his first heroic act. While on duty this past month, Officer Justice, isn't that a great name, noticed a car on fire after a three-vehicle collision at an intersection. The car was engulfed in flames and smoke, and then he saw the woman inside. He said, quote, "I saw the driver sitting in the driver's seat unconscious. Thankfully, she had her seatbelt on, so I opened the door, and that was smashed in. I had to rip open the driver's door, undid her seatbelt, got her out, and with the help of some of the bystanders, we drug her out to safety immediately and to another vehicle away from the fire." Justice says he did not stop to think. He just moved quickly. Though he believes his actions were part of the job description, Officer Justice acknowledged that timing was critical to save her life, especially after looking at pictures of the scene and how the car looked after the fact. Justice said, "I definitely think that if I wasn't there at the right place and at the right time, that woman would not have made it." The town of Matthews, North Carolina, hails him as a hero, awarding him with a Medal of Valor for his bravery and for his courage. And an officer, one of his superiors there at Matthews Police, says that a witness described the events that day as nothing short of superhuman and heroic. What a great, great story. And bravo to Officer Justice for living up to his name. And we appreciate our men and women in blue so, so much. Well, we also have such unbelievable respect for Laken Riley's family. And through it all, it's still incredible that there is not a law on the books. There shouldn't have to be a law on the books, but they want to now do a law called Laken Riley Act. And that's it. Passed through the House. There were, I think it was about 30, it was 37 Democrats who actually supported it. There should have been every single Democrat, but 37 of them in the House. Now it goes to the Senate. And for some reason, it's stalling in the Senate. I mean, can you imagine that they actually feel they need to have a law on the books to prevent what happened in the case of Laken Riley, the horrible, despicable murder? And it essentially says, this new act, that if somebody commits a burglary or a theft, that they should be deported immediately. You would think, again, it's a no-brainer. Somebody commits these crimes, they should be out of here or behind bars. And in the case of Laken Riley's killer, that did not happen. And here is Senator Ted Cruz today talking about why this act must pass immediately.
Had Joe Biden simply followed the law, what would have happened is that murderer would have been put on a plane, flown back to Venezuela, and Laken Riley would still be alive. But the Biden administration decided their political agenda was more important than protecting the lives of American citizens, and so they let the murderer go. But that wasn't the last stop of the failures that unfolded. The murderer went from El Paso to New York City, where he was arrested once again, this time for endangering the safety of a child. Once again, Laken Riley's life could have been saved, but New York City, unfortunately, is a sanctuary city where Democrats refused to enforce the law, so they let the murderer go. Had New York City put him in jail, that murderer would not have been in Georgia to beat Laken Riley to death. But New York City let him go once again.
Disgusting and so heartbreaking. And remember, New York City, he was charged with endangering a minor, and then in Athens, Georgia, shoplifting, let go in the country illegally, given pass after pass after pass. Turns out also he and his brother, there are reports, both have ties to Tren de Aragua, that ruthless Venezuelan gang. I mean, what the heck are we doing with these people in our country? Are you kidding me? After all of this, what more does it take? And still, our president won't even address it. What is he talking about today? He was talking about EVs. I'm like, are you kidding me? Forcing EVs, electric vehicles, down our throats, doing more mandates that will kill American businesses. And, you know, reward China. And that's what he's focused on today. He's not looking at the border. He's not looking at fentanyl. He's not looking at these killers. He's not looking at any of this. He's talking about, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and electric vehicles. Boy, is the world upside down? And then who could forget, even to this moment, he still hasn't really said Lake and Riley's name right. Remember the moment at the State of the Union when Marjorie Taylor Greene forced him to finally say her name? Listen to this.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But, if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and gum all that way, knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
What a bunch of rigmarole. And then remember, so you heard killed by an illegal, right? And then remember, who could forget? Then he apologizes. Not really. He didn't say it's an apology. He's even playing word games with the word apology, but he did say he regrets calling that ruthless killer illegal.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
He has sounded more sympathetic to the killer of Lake and Riley that he regrets calling illegal and then how he's handled Lake and Riley's family. Because today we don't understand he's even tried or anyone at the White House trying to call her family. I mean, that is disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. And you heard what he said. Oh, these people built the country. I'm sorry. Lake and Riley's killer didn't build this country. He's trying to destroy this country. Mr. President, if you think that's building the country, boy, are you completely out of whack. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. Let's go to Mary, line 5. Mary, your thoughts.
Yes. Hello. As you know, I worked for immigration. I want to propose something very simple. Look up your representative and see if they voted for or against the Lake and Riley Act, because it is online. And you could vote against them if they did not make an impact.
That's a great point. You're right. Find out who are the ones who voted, because quite a lot of them did vote against it. And that's even in the House. And then let's see what happened. Can you believe, Mary, and I remember you talking and had called before about immigration and your background. Can you believe that it even has to be a discussion? If somebody says to you, okay, you know, you commit multiple crimes, you do this, we want to deport you, and it's a debate, isn't that shocking to you
it's actually terrible.
A debate?
Yeah, and Mayorkas is to blame, because I remember we got a letter, and this letter is online too, because Grassley wrote a letter questioning Mayorkas in September of 2010, and he wanted the adjudicators to, quote, find their way to yes. Don't worry about fraud or this or that. So he's a big player in this. But we could make an impact, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You are absolutely right, because I think people need to know where things stand. And the fact that there's even a discussion, they should be called out and they should be shamed. And I think also any of these folks, if it doesn't get passed in the Senate, boy, we have lost our way in this country. And the fact that this president hasn't even called Lake and Riley's family to this day, that is astounding to me. Because you know darn well, I think of all the other times that he couldn't wait to pick up the phone when there were other issues, anything tied to, you know, George Floyd or anything else. Boy, it was on speed dial, you know. And now on this one, it's like he is visibly missing in action. And that speaks volumes. And it is all because he's playing politics. Mary, thank you very much. Let's go to Susan. Susan, your thoughts about all this.
Well, listen, I hate to be Debbie Downer, Rita. All of this is bringing back deja vu. I spent some of my youth in outside of Detroit when I was like in high school. And this is what happened in Detroit with the squatters. The high crime rate in the city of Detroit, which was at one time a thriving not the metropolitan area, but the city itself, and the towns inside of the city of Detroit, the high crime rate drove them out where they just left their homes, even though they couldn't sell them because of the crime rate, and then the squatters came in. Now this led to a blight removal effort by the federal government, $265 million, ended up to get rid of the squatters. They had to demolish with bulldozers over 15,000 homes.
Oh, my goodness. All in Detroit?
This was in the city of Detroit. It started, I think, around 2012 or 14. And it took, in fact, it just was recently where the last home was demolished. And this is really emotional for me because I had so many great years in New York City. I did move upstate for personal reasons. But then as it turned out, since I see.
Yeah, oops, we lost you. But I hear what you're saying, Sandra, in terms of just how pervasive this issue is. Boy, oh boy. Let's go to Sandra, line four. Sandra, your thoughts.
Good evening, Rita. You know, the squatters, this originated in 1862. It was called the Homestead Act, and it was signed by Abraham Lincoln. And it was encouraged to have settlers settle on unsettled land. So this is in 1862. We're in 2024, and I think it's time to get rid of that act. But what I wanted to say about the squatters thing, you know, I predicted with all these new people coming in, 10,000 in 4 years, 10 million rather, I knew they're going to start going into homes that don't belong to them. And you know how it's going to affect the quality of our lives? Like, just take me for example. Sometimes I think, oh, maybe I want to get another place in Florida like everybody else does, you know. And my husband would always say, no, just go to a hotel for 2 weeks. Then you leave and you don't have anything to worry about. And I would always say, no, I want my own thing. But you know what, Rita? Now I'm changing my mind. Because if I have something, let's say in Florida, and I'm not there, let's say for 6 months or whatever, I'm going to worry now that some squatter is going to go in there and take over my place, and there goes my property.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, it's sad. It actually is a legitimate concern these days. And once the word gets out about that, and you think about 10 million people come over, most of them don't have money. There are obviously a lot of homeless Americans, too, that are tempted to do it, too. And then you got this crazy guy like we just played on TikTok promoting, hey, here's what's going on. My buddy's got 7 homes. Oh, no, I got 4. You know, you can just see where this is going. I mean, this is scary stuff. And sadly, this is the new reality when you got 10 million people in the country and people taking advantage of hardworking, good citizens. Sandra, thanks so much. We're going to continue your calls after the break, everybody. 1-800-848-9222.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And everybody reacting to that crazy TikToker. His name, by the way, is, he's a Venezuelan national, Leonel Moreno. And the video, apparently he's in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. He's in this country. Isn't that comforting? And he also has, apparently, a pretty big following, as a lot of these TikTokers do. 500,000 strong online is his following. The video, we're going to play it again for you, has gotten more than 4 million views because people are just so appalled that he seems to be offering his comrades tips on how to invade unoccupied homes in America so he can invoke squatters' rights. Here it is again, the audio that everybody's jaws dropping over this one.
My people have thought about invading a house in the United States because I learned that there is a law that says that if a house is not inhabited, we can expropriate it. Northern Hoods here in the United States. Terrain deformation also applies. And I think that will be my next business. Invade abandoned houses. Since I have searched for some codes with my African friends and they told me that they already have about 7 expropriated houses. And as the saying daddy says, you have to look for the way back and forth right now is to invade houses since we are in a street situation and it is the only way we have to avoid living on the street and not be a public burden.
That's incredible. Putting it out there, 4 million people have seen it. The guy's got 500,000 followers, and he's inspiring people, illegal migrants, to invade people's home, take over the homes, no problem, bragging about friends who have 7 homes already. It's becoming like a business. There's also, it's called like sort of robbery tourism, if you will. A lot of it coming from Ecuador and other countries nearby, where they're coming into places like L.A. and have like a map of like places to burglarize. They're burglarizing the stuff and then they're sending it back to Ecuador for resale. And it's actually out there on some social media sites, too. Hey, here's our plan. Here's where we're going. I mean, have we just all lost a sense of values and moral compass? And this is the thanks you get. Hey, come on in. Here's how to make do in this country. Come on in. Aren't you glad? 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Stan, line 5. Stan, your thoughts about all this. Wow.
Interesting, these people. They're learning real estate. Wait a minute. They're learning real estate. Give them a break.
Yeah, right.
They're learning like Trump. They want to learn the real estate business. So this is what they're learning.
It's a little different than Trump. But yeah, you know.
It's crazy.
It is unbelievable. You know what's amazing, Stan, is they're just out there. Like, you see his face. He's not hiding. He's advertising.
Well, what are they? Just going after houses. Is that what? You mean houses that nobody's in? How would they know? They got to go look at the house.
Well, I think he's giving them tips on how to check and see if the houses are available and then go in. It is actually just stunning. And think, you know, I mean, here they come into this country. People are working hard for their money. And you just heard Sandra saying that they're worried about now traveling. I mean, it's just incredible. What have we come to that you can't even go on vacation? You're worried you're going to come back and have some migrant from Venezuela or somebody moving into your place. I mean, this is a sad state of affairs. Stan, thanks so much. When we come back, everybody, we will talk about Trump, Letitia James moving in, listing the properties that she plans to seize if he doesn't post bond by Monday. Wow.